Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
A little bit more unnecessary is this trend and this maybe this move towards okaying and making it acceptable to speak about Hitler. So for most of us, of course, Hitler is one category only, and that is absolute evil, the architect of the Holocaust, of industrialized murder, of a war that killed millions and millions and millions of people. And yet suddenly, or somehow, we are seeing something a bit disturbing, which is Hitler as a bit of an edgy character, maybe romanticized, I'm not sure yet, but certainly edgy and maybe even a little romanticized. To help us unpack this, why this is happening, what this means legally and socially, and what really is what's driving this trend, maybe perhaps in the United States, we're joined by a U.S. attorney, John Day. John, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Hi, good morning, Howard. Thanks for having me, as always.
Great pleasure. So when we say that characters like Hitler are being romanticized, what does this actually mean in practice? Well, what are we seeing?
Yeah, disturbing. You that's the word you used. And so what we're seeing here in the States is it's and I think it's generally applicable to probably younger males here, and they are focusing or grouping around some far right-wing commentators, who guys like this Nick Fuentes, for example, right? People who and it's mainly aimed at young men, and it seems to feed off of a lack of a connection or a lack of an understanding or a lack of a historical appreciation for example, the Holocaust within this group of young men. They don't have the generational ties, they don't have the emotional history, they don't have the basic understanding of what took place. And so then that leads to people like this guy Fuentes saying things like, essentially, and this is not word for word, but he said words to the effect of, I'm tired of trying to say that Hitler wasn't cool because he was cool. And this appeals to a lot of his followers for some sense of a lack of any appreciation for what they're actually saying. I mean, to people who are maybe your age, my age, who have a historical understanding and have ties, maybe generational ties, familial ties,
right,
community ties that don't exist anymore at this level, at this generational level. And it's affecting, it's actually the basis for a big split in the U.S. In the conservative movement. And Fuentes is on one side. Tucker Carlson had this big interview with him that's caused a huge stir. And so mainstream Republicans are pushing back, but this group of more MAGA Republicans, including Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, seem to be defending Fuentes and Carlson. And it's been a big, it's the start of what apparently could be a civil war within the American conservative movement.
It's so interesting. Just to clarify one thing before we continue, is when you speak about people maybe not having an understanding or an appreciation, somebody like Nick Fuentes does. You know, it's who's influenced by him, perhaps, that might not. But he has a very, very clear understanding. He can't...
He knows what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. He can't hide behind ignorance, because he certainly knows what he's doing when he's making these statements.
Right. He knows what he's doing. He's followed by legions of young men who don't haven't questioned it, haven't done their own independent evaluation of whether what this guy is saying has any basis in reality. So he's charismatic for this group of people. Of course, he's been condemned by mainstream Republicans and more traditional Republicans, but there is a group within the conservative movement that he's very popular. And again, he appeals to this younger male audience that has apparently bought into this without doing any sort of evaluation on their own to see whether this guy is telling the truth or not.
It's so interesting, because as you're describing this, you and I have spoken quite a number of times about the split in the Democratic Party, where you've got the socialist section or element, the Mamdanis, of the Democrats. And now what we're seeing is exactly almost a parallel situation playing out here, where you've got a fragmentation of Republicans or to the right, as we have the Democrats to the left. And it's fascinating to me, because I wonder what happens to that center, of center Democrats and center Republicans. What's your thoughts on it?
I think that, yeah, it's a very good point that you just made, and I think that Senate is growing smaller and smaller as these splits develop. And you know, pointing out the split within the Democrats, the progressives versus the more moderate. And again, it does mirror what's going on within the conservative movement, within Republicans, because there's a huge group of people who don't have anything, who see nothing wrong with, again, this big interview that Tucker Carlson, the American commentator, had, where he let Nick Fuentes, the leader of this very anti-Semitic, very, I guess, the pro-Hitler movement, go on for about 2 hours, and Carlson didn't challenge Fuentes in any appreciable way on what he was saying in terms of praise of Hitler, saying, I'm tired of having to be afraid to praise Hitler, and words to that effect, which is stunning. I mean, if you think about it, it's not anything that we've had in the mainstream political scene ever. And so this is significant for the conservative movement. It's probably more significant in a way than the split in the Democratic Party, because it involves the basis is a strong anti-Semitic view. For example, Fuentes says a lot of the country's problems are caused by what he calls organized Jewry. I mean, that's...
Wow. Okay. You don't get more overt than that. Yeah.
It could not be more overt than that. And so, but he has a lot of support. And again, a lot of the support comes from a younger male audience that doesn't have a historical or a familial or a generational comprehension of what really took place in the Holocaust.
Do you think that this is a reaction to, and I'm not discounting it or making excuses for it, but is this need, because often that's what this is a social need, a need to fit in, a need to be part of a society or an organization. We see that on the left quite strongly in the anti-Israel or pro-Hamas camp. But is this a reaction to that, to these white males feeling disenfranchised and therefore becoming part of something like this? Or was this always there and they've just been given a voice?
Yeah, I think it was probably on some level always there, but it was not, you were not allowed, if you were of that philosophy or the beliefs, you were not allowed to publicly, because you would be shamed, because it was considered antisocial, because it was considered wrong. It was considered morally wrong. And somehow the floodgates got opened. I mean, you know, the Fuentes is one of these sponsors and promoters of this thing they call the Great Replacement Theory here in the States, which is this far-right belief that white Christian Americans are being replaced at the behest of this, what they call it, a cabal of Jewish leaders. They're being replaced by migrants from what they call, with different skin color, from other countries. And so this is one of the things that Fuentes pushes.
Right.
And
so Jews are doing that because it benefits them so much to have the immigrant community has really benefited the Jewish community so well. Yeah.
I mean, you can't go too deep into it. You cannot go too deep into it without losing logic. But again, this is what is happening. And whether it has a permanent foothold in the conservative movement, again, the same way that the far left progressive pro-Hamas essentially wing of the Democratic Party, does that have a permanent foothold? And again, as we talked about, I think the centers in both places, both parties, are shrinking, unfortunately, as these spin-offs take more and more energy away from the more moderate, historically moderate Democrats and Republicans.
So where does this go? I mean, we've seen Tucker Carlson, we've seen Fuentes, Candace Owen completely lost her mind. But I mean, there's this whole grouping of people who, okay, Fuentes maybe not a part of this, who were maybe to the right, but retained some form of balance. That balance is gone. Where does this end? You know, I mean, Candace, to me, has unraveled. Does Tucker Carlson go the same way? What happens?
Well, and I think one of the things you have to look at, and it's disappointed a lot of people, but that President Trump hasn't sort of roundly condemned the anti-Semitic and the sort of almost like the Hitler praise that comes out of Fuentes. I mean, he had a dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Fuentes and Kanye West. I mean, a couple of years ago, that was
bizarre.
Anyway, I think there was a lot of expectation that Donald Trump might condemn this and take the leadership mantle. It hasn't really happened. He's said that Tucker Carlson can interview whoever he wants, and so that disappointed a lot, I think, a lot of the more mainstream Republicans. But where does this go? That's the question. I mean, you know, we've seen it's taking on more and more weight within the conservative movement, and it is the basis for this ideological split that's really still going on. It's still occurring.
Fascinating, and certainly a conversation that we'll continue to have. John Day, thank you as always. He is an attorney in the United States, and we speak to John to get a sense of what is happening in terms of the politics, in terms of many aspects of